When it was evening on that day, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Sounds a lot like where we find ourselves today, doesn't it? Stay at home orders, reside in place orders, non-essential businesses stay closed, church pews empty. Yet Jesus is still with us, just like the disciples, offering peace, allaying fears, dispelling doubt, giving hope. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but the passage, the gospel reading this morning, is one of the fullest passages in our lectionary. Listen to the words, the phrases: fear, peace be with you, reject, sent, breathed, receive the Holy Spirit, forgive, retain. We have seen the Lord. Nails, side, hands, I will not believe unless I see. Shut, Jesus came, put your finger here. Do not doubt, but believe, my Lord and my God. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe, so that you may come to believe. You may have life in his name. Wow, that's a lot. One could spend weeks, literally months, literally years on just this passage. But we are lucky here in the Episcopal Church because we get this exact same reading every year on the second Sunday of Easter, because much of this passage occurs exactly today, 1 week after Easter. So you get to hear it numerous times with new interpretations and understandings. Just like us, the disciples, Thomas, we all doubt and have difficulty dealing with that doubt. One of our greatest blessings as Episcopalians is the freedom to admit when we have doubts. As faithful Christians, we are encouraged to ask tough questions concerning our faith and our traditions. Doubt and faith are two sides of the same coin. They are the yin and yang of the Christian life. Doubt isn't the opposite of faith. It is an element of faith. Rather than suppress our doubts, we should explore them and allow them to set us on a journey of discovery and a deepening of our beliefs. Thomas gets a bad rap for doubting the resurrection of Jesus. He was no more doubtful than the other disciples and apostles. The other disciples didn't believe Jesus had risen until he appeared to them. So why should we expect Thomas to be any different? Yet Thomas is the one that proclaims, "My Lord and my God." You see, doubt propels us into deeper learning, earnest soul searching, and spiritual revelation. Faith based on absolute certainty leads to fanaticism. But faith tempered with doubt, I have found, is mature and stable. Sometimes we look to spiritual giants, the superstars of Christianity, and feel inferior in our own personal walk in comparison. However, the greatest in the kingdom sometimes deal with the greatest doubt. Mother Teresa's diary reveals a saintly person who struggled with a type of doubt that would crush the faint of heart. She writes to a confidant, Jesus has a very special love for you. As for me, the silence and the emptiness is so great that I look and do not see, listen and do not hear. For the last nearly half century of her life, Mother Teresa felt no presence of God whatsoever. Although perpetually cheery in public, Mother Teresa lived in a state of deep and abiding spiritual pain. She bemoans the dryness, the darkness, the loneliness, the torture that she was undergoing. She is not alone. The Jewish American author Isaac Singer states that doubt is part of all religion, that all the religious thinkers were doubters. The art critic Robert Hughes says, "The greater the artist, the greater the doubt. Perfect confidence is granted to the less talented as a consolation prize." Catholic priest Henry Nouwen wrote, "So I am praying while not knowing how to pray. I am resting while feeling restless, at peace while tempted, safe while still anxious, surrounded by a cloud of light while still in darkness, in love while still doubting." One of Nouwen's quotes has been a lifeboat for many who find themselves overcome with the waves of life's stormy doubts. He writes, "Have the courage to trust that you will not fall into an abyss of nothingness, but into the embrace of a God whose love can heal all your wounds." Faith is a daily, ongoing exercise. It is a risk. Doubts arise. We struggle with God. And hopefully, faith grounded in the goodness of God triumphs, even when we do not have all the answers and life just doesn't make sense. Will we believe in a God of love who wants to be near us and has our best interest at heart? Or will we believe in a God who plays games with us and is ultimately cruel and uncaring? Will we believe in a God who stands beside us in our troubles, or one who is distant and difficult? The author of Hebrews writes, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not void of doubt, but requires a daily commitment to developing our spiritual walk despite life's uncertainties and sometimes cruelties. Faith doesn't take away our doubts. It is strengthened by them. Faith doesn't deliver us from our problems and heartaches, but gives us the strength to persevere through them and lead others." Have you ever noticed that whenever and wherever we meet Jesus, whether it be in Scripture or on the street or in our community, He always wants to resurrect somebody? The truth is, the church is always in need of resurrection, and never more so than at that doubtful beginning. Early on that first Easter morning, the disciples were the world's most lifeless church, gathering behind locked doors. Yet, through those doors, Jesus' "Peace be with you," and the breathing of the Holy Spirit upon them, they became the most life-filled church. And we are the benefactors of that. Today, we believe by living and loving the world because of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus always meets us where we are, always has done that. He does not give the same prescription to everyone. He approaches us in different ways because we're different. Our experiences are different, and our approaches to life are different. And Jesus finds a way to bless us. This is the way Jesus handles our doubt. He gives us what we need. We did not see or touch. We were not there. We heard. Someone told us the story that invited us to say yes. And so we come to the table, open our hands to touch and taste for ourselves. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Christ is risen.